Hey everyone, welcome to Narrative Calculus, the podcast show where we review everything from movies to TV show, books, hopefully soon, music, and everything in between. I'm Jonathan, a filmmaker, and this is
Titus, your worst nightmare.
as well as a writer. Today we have a very special show. In fact, some might even call it the greatest show.
You are
We're
laughing way
reviewing
too hard
the.
at that, my friend.
I know. I just thought of it right now. I know it's bad. We're reviewing The Greatest Showman. Also, not a super great movie. Yeah. It does feature a lot of big names though, such as Hugh Jackman, Zac Efron, the star of Ty's favorite movie of all time, and Zendaya. Yeah, some
Wait,
pretty big
what's my favorite
names. It
movie?
made f
Hold on.
High School Musical.
Oh.
It made $435 million worldwide. It was released by 20th Century Fox shortly before they were to be drowned under by all that Disney money. Billions and billions of it. It was.
The U.S. Department of Justice called. They want to talk to Disney about a monopoly problem they've heard about.
So, if you've never seen it before, which. I don't know if you've seen it. I don't know how popular this movie is, to be honest. It kind of goes like this. There's the young boy of P.T. Barnum who's kind of poor. It's a classic rags to riches story as he goes off and joins the railroad and comes back to the girl he loves but can't give her the life that she wants, and eventually starts sees that there's uses his flair for drama and tries to find the weirdest people he possibly can to put in a spectacular show, and then he has some bumps along the way, and he learns some valuable life lessons. And then he becomes the greatest showman, I guess.
I'm sorry, what? I've never seen this movie. What? Who is this? I've never seen any movie by somebody called P.T. Barnum. Why would they call him the greatest showman? This is ridiculous.
Well, because he had a good quote.
Steven Spielberg is way better. Come on, dude.
So, do you want to start off with talking about the characters? Let's share our opinions on the characters.
Hold on, there were characters in this movie?
Oh, wait, you're right. There weren't any. My bad. I guess we'll just have to skip to what actually
Okay,
happened.
oh, okay. Let's be for real here. So the characters, the reason why we're joking so hard about this, we've discussed this already before the podcast, but the characters in this show are just a total joke. They are personality traits that have had a
Slapped onto human bodies.
Yes, they're like android bodies. They're like robots. They've been coded in with, this person will be
Yes.
the, let's see here, let's see here. He'll be the young protege who is in love with the girl. Just the girl.
Yeah,
She doesn't
the
really
girl, yep.
she angsts about something. She's angsting. We've also got
Yeah.
the main character, which is a dude who is a dirt bag, basically. Yeah, okay. And then he becomes not a dirt bag later. And that's his entire character arc in a nutshell.
Yes, it is. There's no motivation to any of these characters. You have no idea what they want. Well, you do
Actually,
know
that was one
kind
of
of
the.
what you do know kind of what they want, but it's kind of like shallow. Like obviously, Phineas Barnum, he wants to marry Charity.
No, he wants to build a better life for himself and get out of poverty, which is an interesting
Yeah.
motivation. Well, not interesting. It's an okay motivation and one that could have been used much
Yeah.
better than it was in the film. It's just.
Don't know. I think that the whole, I don't think any of the characters were any good at all.
None of them
There
were.
was, while we're at it, let's just at least name them, because some people might have not seen the movie. There's P.T. Barnum, obviously. There's Charity, his wife. There's Philip Carlyle, who's the young protege, Zendaya. who's the girl, Jenny Lind, who's the opera singer. There's their two daughters, P.T. Barnum's and Charity's, because they're married, and there's a whole bunch of weird people.
And that's it.
And
They're weird. And this is one
that's
of the
all the
things that
characters.
really disturbs me about this movie. It talks about letting your freak flag fly, pretty much, right? You know, you are who you want to be, right? And what's so unbelievably disturbing is that all of the freaks, they have nothing else to their character except that they are freaks. That's it. And the
Well, no,
implications
they
of
do.
that
They
are
do.
really.
They do. Like the what? But they all have it in common. Like the only thing that any of them do besides like, well, the only thing that any of them, basically, their whole character is feel sorry for me because everyone looks at me weird. They
Pretty
do
much,
have that.
yeah.
That is the one thing they have to their character. They do have that, but that's about it. It's
Like, the
basically feel
implications
sorry
of
for
that
me.
are just really, really disturbing. They're not real people. They're just something for us to feel pity for. And it's really, I really, it's, ugh. P.T. Barnum is just pathetic. He's a pathetic dude. His character
Okay,
arc.
keep in mind we're not actually talking about the real
Right,
people. Like just like Hamilton, like which I didn't review with Ty, he did by himself. Go check that out. But we're just reviewing this purely on the basis of this being larger than life musical. This isn't
Right,
historical
yep.
in any way, and we're not criticizing it. Just to put that out there, just so everyone knows.
Right, we're just criticizing purely as a movie. P.T. Barnum, do you have anything to say about this dude?
No, because there is nothing to say about him.
His character arc is just a total mess. I mean, like, it makes. So already right off the bat, he's like a totally hollow character, right? His only driving motivation and his only motivation is that he wants to become rich. Okay, fair enough. And there's nothing else to his character. Then he
Well,
becomes
they're.
rich and then he turns into an adulterous scumbag, right? You know? And then stuff happens. Fire burns down. He runs in for some reason. You know, he goes out. He reconciles with his wife, and then they do things. It makes no sense. It's just all over the place.
Well, I mean, I definitely see. Well, I think the execution was pretty bad, but I think they did do like one good thing. The thing that the part that I liked was his kind of like resilience to get like I mean not just like because he was so poor. I mean it could have been a good idea, but they executed it really, really badly. Like in the beginning, they have like an introduction that's basically just another pity show except for him. Instead of the freaks being pitied after. That's basically what the introduction is. You would agree, right?
Pretty much, yeah. Which I could stand for that in the introduction. Like, you know, you're never gonna be interested in the characters in the introduction. The only thing that's gonna catch you is the situation that they're in. The time to get them to care about the characters is later on, right?
Yeah, but what they kind of do is they kind of lean on that the whole movie
Right,
long for his motivation, which doesn't really work because I mean, and it could have been a good, cool idea too. I mean, they did a little bit with it, like his like continual resistance to the idea of him being poor, and it's basically actually I've been rewatching Back to the Future. I rewatched the trilogy this week, and in it. Marty like refuses to be called chicken. It kind of reminds me a little bit like that. Like he refuses for anyone to think that he's like poor or lesser or anything like that because of how he was raised. So, I mean, that's basically the only thing to his character, which could have been kind of cool, I guess, but not really.
Does he ever actually, like, really totally fail at something in this movie? Like, he himself. I'm asking sincerely. Like, I'm trying to think through it.
Yeah. Does he ever?
Like, he himself, not outside circumstances, but something that he directly causes. I'm trying to think here. Was there a scene like that?
You mean like towards someone else, like for in a like wrecking a relationship or wrecking like a business or what?
Yeah, any of those things. Something that he is directly pretty much responsible for.
Yeah. Well, oh no, I was gonna say kissing Jenny Lind, but then that was kind of her fault, so
I
no.
guess I'm not trying to be critical here. It's just I'm trying to think through his character arc, and I
Yeah.
suppose he does have
Well,
like it's his own fault that he doesn't deal with the protesters and that he doesn't stop the relationship, right? But it feels like he doesn't really learn from those in a really satisfying way.
yeah, they
And
kind of like the
it
whole thing gets solved in a song, like from now on, is like the whole resolution to his character arc of not being so
Like what I like what I
greedy,
would have liked to
basically.
see is he fails, then he gets beaten into the ground repeatedly, continually trying to do what he used to always do, thinking that's what's going to fix the problem. And then lo and behold, it doesn't fix the problem, bringing him to a breaking point, right? And that's where that could
Kind
have
of like in
gone.
The Chosen, like Peter in The Chosen, Simon.
Exactly like that. Exactly like that.
Yeah.
In this, he just kind of, goes around, stuff happens to him, and he
Yeah.
causes some things like indirectly, not really directly, and then all is forgiven
Yeah.
really, really fast. It's really bad. The woman that he was married to was pretty much just a plot device.
Yeah, basically. Even since the beginning, like she was just kind of like a goal for him, and it was like basically like jumping back and forth between her father and him. It was kind of like a game for them to see who could basically win charity.
I don't think he ever really realizes that his attitude of treating,
Objectification? Is that what you're looking for? Or not really?
not necessarily although that is a part of it, yeah. But this attitude of, I have to be the best at everything, I have to prove myself to everybody, right? I don't think there's ever, I mean, that's supposed to be the whole point of the film, or at least a major point, right? I don't think he
Yeah.
actually ever really verbally says that he under or even acts it out really. There's no
Yeah.
afterwards scene where he looks at has the opportunity to do something he could have done in the first act where he could have, been a awful human being but choose to be nice, There's no scene like
Yeah.
that. He's pretty much, oh gosh, we're really just I've been talking for
I
so
know.
long. I'm so sorry.
I
I
know.
just keep on
I
talking.
know. It's not your fault. It's the movie. Okay, well, so what about the plot? I think we can both agree it's kind of all over the place because I have problems with the pacing. You want to explain why you think the pacing problem is, structurally?
I think structurally it's because so in an ideal story, right, the main character is chasing after a goal, and
Well,
he can't
not.
get to the goal.
Yeah.
I mean that's pretty much the source of any story, like the smallest to the best story to the biggest story. It's all about somebody who wants something badly, but they can't get it, right?
Yeah.
Well, by the first act, he has what he wants. Now, and then throughout the second act, it's more about him dealing with that. And while that sounds nice, like on a philosophical level, right? Him learning to realize that
Yeah.
all that he wanted from a narrative level, from a storytelling level, now there's no goal that's binding the story together. There's nothing that you can put your eyes on and say, that's what we're trying to get for. That's what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
Right? So
'Cause
rather
everything's already been accomplished.
Exactly. So
Yeah.
it's more like a bunch of interconnected one-shot stories now, rather than or like a
Yeah.
TV show or something. A very bad TV
Well,
show than an actual coherent story.
yeah. So I think what may have happened was so the songwriters, so I think this is definitely to be blamed on the screenwriters, but not fully. I think it's because so they the songwriters for this also did La La Land, right?
I have no
Which
idea.
was also popular. Well, yeah, they did, which is also popular. So I kind of think that they ran out of ideas on what to do after the first act. Like they kind of rushed through the whole film, the first act anyway, and then it kind of had nothing to do with the rest. But they had these amazing songs that they had to do it. I kind of feel like maybe the rest of the movie just kind of existed just to, I don't know, have, sell records or what, not records, but streams, I guess. I don't know. You get what I'm saying? Like
I
it
could
felt
see, yeah,
like,
I could see that being, I could see
yeah, I
that
think
being the
because
case.
there was no reason for anything in the second or third act to have happened. Like, maybe it was historical. I don't know. Maybe they just, I don't know. Maybe it was. Maybe it wasn't. I don't really care. But I feel like anything after the first act didn't need to happen. So either like add something to the first act to make it better, or and to expand it, or just cut the whole thing out. But then you wouldn't even have a movie. So I think probably what happened was that the music, what they felt, was enough to kind of justify the rest of the movie's existence,
Kind of
and they
like
didn't feel like they had to bother.
Ip Man. Have you watched the Ip Man movies?
No, I've never seen those.
Yeah, well, it's basically just a bunch of martial arts fights, which is fine.
Oh.
Like the Ip Man movies don't pretend like there's any kind of grand story going on. Like it just tries to tell its story, a nice little backdrop to what's mostly a bunch of cool martial arts fights. And so I can look at that and say, the story is pretty much non-existent, but it's not really supposed to be a good story.
Yeah, that's definitely what I see. Yeah.
In this it feels like they're trying so hard for a coherent story that it becomes like kind of capricious. No, not capri. Condescending is maybe the right term? No. When Phineas starts acting really awful by the midpoint, right? It feels like it totally comes out of nowhere. What do you think of that?
Not really, to be honest, 'cause I definitely know that like it's happened where like the greed and the money, as when you have none of it, all of a sudden like floods to you, then it can be like, it can like get to you really quick, Like it's kind of like, if someone wins the lottery, most of the time it's all gone really quick, Like it gets to the it can get to them really fast. So I don't really see it as coming out of nowhere, because yeah, I just don't think it does, because I can definitely see how that can quickly turn someone like him, especially in his state of mind. I don't know. Why do you think it came out of nowhere?
Well, for me, it just felt like there was no foreshadowing or build up or anything. It just all of a sudden he's talking about 20 minutes before he's talking about what I see is a general on a horse, and when they see you will salute. And then 20 minutes later, hold on, I need to hide you in the closet while I go talk to all the rich people. Hold on, stay back, stay back. Like, it might be realistic, but it feels unsatisfying.
Yeah, I get what you mean. It's okay with me though, because I definitely see it as being realistic.
So, what did you think of the opening in this?
I did not like it.
Holy cow, I think we finally came to an agreement about an opening.
Yeah.
So.
Prince of Egypt. I defend Prince of Egypt, you defend Lord of the Rings, and we both hate on this movie.
Yes. The prologue, I've been reading up on this book by Randy and Germanson, Dynamite Scenes, and what he argues is that a scene should be a story in and of itself. It should have there should be a reactive state to active state. There should be a beginning, a middle, and a not conclusive end. It has to be an inconclusive end so the rest of the story can continue, right? You know, like a cliffhanger at the end of a TV show. And I felt like the opening, and a lot of the scenes in here actually, totally flopped on that. Like, for example, the opening. There's no conflict whatsoever. There's no situation that's interesting. It's just a bunch of dudes dancing around while they're while singing. Like, there's no context. There's no nothing. Just a bunch of dudes dancing. Oh,
you meant that. I thought I wasn't really thinking of that part. I thought you meant the part with Charity and Phineas. Is that what you were talking about? Or were you talking about those two scenes as
No,
a whole,
I was talking
what?
About like the first 2 minutes of the movie. I actually like those
parts. Oh no. I was okay with that.
Really? Oh, okay. Looks like the rivalry returns. Sorry, you gonna defend your position, my young man?
Yeah. It was meant to be musical, and they just kind of wanted to introduce the music right away. I think it was kind
of
cheap, but I'm okay with it, because I like the music.
What's the purpose of music in a musical?
To tell the story, but I don't think they know that. I think they just see it as, hey, we got a good song, so let's put it in. Grab their attention right away.
I came to watch a story, not to watch music. The music needs to serve the story. That's what I'm trying to say. If the music doesn't serve the story, it needs to either be cut or improved.
I know, man. I've heard Howard Ashman talk about this. I know.
Who's Howard Ashman?
He was one of the song writers, composers who did the Disney Renaissance film all up until Beauty and the Beast and a little bit of Aladdin.
So
then he died, but I know he said, I thought you were referring to something that he said, because you should look up what he says about that. Anyway, I like the music though, so I'm okay with it. I know it's not really supposed to be there. It makes it a worse, you know, I know that, but the movie's like, I just, at this point, I don't even try to see how it could be a good story, because it really isn't. So I'm okay with it, man. I'm okay with it.
Okay, fair enough. But you said you disliked the prologue. No, that's the prologue. Yeah. No, what we were just talking about is the prologue. And I guess that would be the first act.
I didn't like the little...
That whole first act opening thing with where they're showing him as a kid, right?
Yeah, I didn't like that.
I actually thought that was one of the better parts of the movie.
Wow.
I think the opening...
You want to tell me why? You want to defend my friend?
I don't think it's a... It's not good in the same way as, like, you would call, you know, Indiana Jones good or something like that, or any other movie good. It's good in the sense that it serves its purpose, whereas the rest of the movie is just a rambly mess, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the first act, it tells its story concisely, cleanly, and fairly quickly. It tells you who Barnum is. It tells you his essential motivations for why he is the person that he is, right? It tells you...
Yeah, but I feel like the whole thing is just like a pity show. Like, that's why I don't like it. I don't like any of the other characters, because their whole character is a pity show, and it feels like this is kind of what's happening to him the whole time.
True, but I mean, like, in comparison to the rest of the film... At least here in the first act, it can be excusable. Like, you can say, okay, they're just trying to set up who this what the character's situation is, not necessarily the inner depths of the character. That's for the middle, that's supposed to be saved for the second act, right?
Yeah.
So, that's why I like the first act in this, because it serves its purpose. The rest of the show is just a total...
I do like the parts. Like, I don't like that opening scene, but I like up until he starts the museum. Like, as soon as the song goes on about the In the Dark song, like Come Alive. I think that's it, right?
I don't know. I wasn't really paying attention.
Okay. Well, the Come Alive song everything before that I was okay with. I thought it was fine. I think it's I thought it was kind of fun to see that. That's this but then besides the music, the whole rest of the film after that point just goes down the toilet.
Pretty
The only
much.
redeemable part after that is the is what?
Pretty much, yeah.
The only redeemable parts after that is the music, if you even like the music. Which I
Right.
did, which I did. So that's why I bother watching the second half.
And
And I
it's,
let.
and you know, it's not
Sorry.
even, it's not even enough of a dumpster fire. Like, at least with the, it's not enough of a dumpster fire for me to laugh and stare. It's just, it's at that horrible point where it's really bad, but it's not hilariously bad. It's just bad, bad. It's just, ugh.
Yeah, I think it's for me, it's in between mediocre and bad. It's like on the edge of bad. Just because of the songs and the nostalgia I have for it.
Fair enough, fair enough.
It's kind of weird to see, to say.
So
So, was there any theme, do you feel?
oh
I
yeah,
guess
absolutely.
there were definitely the very progressive theme of just trying to be yourself, I guess. That's all.
Pretty much. It was a very shallow theme though. Not really
Yeah.
much depth
It
to
was
it.
basically like be yourself and rich people are bad. That
Yeah,
was
and they and
basically the
there's
whole theme.
no and there's no real beauty to it. They just shove it to your faces, shove it into your faces and
Yeah.
explicitly tell you. Like I was watching this anime earlier today. Really?
Ugh. Ugh. Ugh.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
Like it was so weird 'cause it's like this libertarian anime and I agree with like 99% of what it was saying. Like the guy went off on a rant like the reason why XYZ makes has a higher median income is simply 'cause their skills are more valuable. It has nothing to do with discrimination. And I'm like, "Yeah, I agree. Okay. Can we get back to like the sword fights or something? Please, anything but this." You know? Like I mean I agree with what they're saying, but it's so superficial and so shoved in your face, it feels false, you know?
Yes, definitely. That's definitely one of the biggest problems. And I like read a couple reviews on it because I was wondering what people thought back in 2017, and they basically said the same thing. Yep, so I'm kind of disappointed, man. I'm gonna be honest. Back in 2017, I love this movie.
I would advise you to double check your romantic taste, my friend.
Okay, oh, it's funny. Music and visuals, those are the two things that I think are
Uh-oh,
good.
uh-oh,
Now we get to the
uh-oh,
good parts. The music. I know the music's not everybody's cup of tea, but it is. Well, I like a lot of
it's
music. It is
basically
one of
junk
my.
food. It's like Coca-Cola and no sugar, not no
Yeah.
sugar Coca-Cola, just full sugar as much as possible Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
I have to admit my favorite song, one of my favorite songs of this, is just the opera singers, Never Enough. And you know why it's my favorite?
No, I actually don't. I was gonna make a joke, but no, I don't know why.
Because it's so hilarious in context. This is what they were singing in 20th century opera houses. This is the best. For me. For me. For me. Like, dude, come on. No. I don't believe it.
What were they saying back then, I wonder? I guess we'll never know. Okay, the visuals,
Well, we're not going to talk more
cinematography
about
was
the
fine.
music?
If you have something else to say it, friend.
What happened to you, La La Land writers? What happened to the jazz stuff? Why did you regress, my guys? Okay, that's it.
Wait, what? What are you talking about?
Hmm?
Like, I know I said it was by the La La Land people, but I'm not a musician. I don't know about, motifs or beats or whatever. I mean, I'm actually
No,
watching a YouTube channel right now about all that stuff, and it's pretty interesting, but I don't know. I just don't know much about it as of yet.
I'm not. This really isn't the place to criticize pop because that's already been done to death. Like, you know, there's hundreds of videos that explain why, you know, the many, many problems, the repetitive structure, etc., etc. What surprises me is that if these are the same guys who wrote the La La Land songs, right?
Yes, they are.
And La La Land had such an excellent soundtrack, like, really good. And it just, it's really surprising to me that...
Songwriters. I don't know, is a songwriter and the person who actually makes the music the same person? Or is it like one person does the lyrics and like how to, is that like
a different job? I actually have no idea. Maybe you're right. Maybe they just did the lyrics.
Yeah. Do you have anything to say about the visuals? Because I don't. I already said it. They're fine.
I mean, it was good, except for any time when there were like CGI horses running around. It was really painful to watch at that point. But those were relatively short, so, you know, it's not a huge deal breaker.
Yeah. So, quick thoughts. Just wondering, what did you think about the Zac Efron-Zendaya romance?
Wait, romance? I thought it was like an arranged marriage or something. I mean, they had all the chemistry of... they had all the chemistry of a rock and a sea turtle.
Wow, that is strangely specific. Rock and a sea turtle.
Wait, I don't
why?
Know.
Is that like, is like sea turtle meant to like go on top of the rock or what?
No, it's just the first thing I think of when I think of these characters. When I think of the dude, I think of a rock. When I think of the girl, I think of a sea turtle. There's not much logic here. That's just what I think of when I think of those two.
I thought you were gonna have some like super extravagant argument on why true love doesn't work like this. So I want you. It's like after 5 days of knowing you. It's like, you know.
5 days. Yeah. Oh, that. By the way, that sketch. Character. You know, that's another problem with the show. That dude only comes in at like sometime within the second act. So even ignoring all of that other stuff, logistically speaking, he has only about an hour for that romance. Like, no wonder that it felt so forced. Just out of nowhere. No time whatsoever to do anything. I feel like if they hadn't gone the romance route, I think that actually would have made it much better.
How so?
Well, because romance is too, I would say, like, ambitious. But, unrealistic. But a friendship, like, I could see, you know... Like, over the course of an hour, there's this subplot where these two hate each other's guts out because of their, you know, different lifestyles. You have the rich boy from a crazy family, and then you have the poor girl who's been shut, you know, and the two get off hating each other.
That's basically the brother's role. So you'd say, then, should they just cut the brother out and have her?
Pretty much, yeah. And, you know, over the course of the story, the two get to realize that maybe their perceptions about each other were kind of ridiculous, and they're much deeper, multifaceted human beings than their labels would imply. I feel like that would have made for some pretty deep themes, you know? Like, ignore the romance aspect.
It wouldn't have sold as many tickets.
Ah! Fair enough. But I think that would have really actually been awesome if they had just, like, really increased the depth that way. But...
So, is there anything else that you thought of the movie? Any things you want to get off your chest about this?
Okay, so this is basically Hamilton, but worse. It's literally, like, scene for scene, pretty much Hamilton, if you think about it.
Really? It is because I haven't even seen all of Hamilton. I just go to the songs that I like and I watch them, and I'm disappointed because the actors don't sing on beat like they're supposed to, and nothing's really happening, and the dancing's really whack.
Seriously, by the midpoint, Hamilton has gotten pretty much everything that he dreams for. And then, like, he discovers that he ends up being a total, you know, awful human being, but then later reconciles with...
Yeah.
The main difference is that the first act and the second act are essentially self-contained stories, so you can still say... So even though I dislike Hamilton in some aspects for refusing to stick those two together... It's still a self-contained story with a beginning, middle, and end, right? Yeah. This is just a rambling mess. It's just everywhere. Mm. It's all over the place. There's no point to it. So.
Okay.
Oh, one more thing.
One thing I do.
Oh.
One thing that I do want to say is 2017 me, so that'd be 13-year-old me, really liked this movie. I liked the music. I didn't really pay attention to the characters all that much. I just enjoyed the movie for what it was, and what I think it really is just like a popcorn. Like the name, it's just supposed to be kind of like enjoyed once and thrown away. Like, is there any kind of candy that you do that with? Like, no, I guess just gum. It's like you chew it and then you throw it out. That's kind of like how the movie felt. It's basically a bubblegum film.
Oh yeah.
So you just watch it once. You can like watch it with your family. You guys might enjoy it, like I enjoyed it at first. Like, I still enjoy it. Like, I watch it with my little sisters or my mom, and, you know, we don't have a bad time watching it. We like to watch it. And so it's definitely something that you can enjoy, but just don't look too deep into it.
Don't look too closely at that.
Don't swallow gum. Don't swallow gum either.
That's oddly specific.
Okay, so
prequel flashbacks. Yes.
What would you rate The Greatest Show Guy?
Okay, so for a bit of context, so far we've only been dealing with the upper echelon of our rating system for the past couple of movies, for pretty much all our movies, right? They've all been fairly good.
I'm not doing that.
Eh?
Let's just do the regular review.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about as in 0 to 5 movies.
Oh, okay. I thought you were trying to do the negative thing.
Yeah, ignore what we were talking about, but okay.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
So we haven't really delved into the 0 to 6 areas before in our rating system, so I want to give a brief explanation of my philosophy, at least. So, like... 5, totally mediocre. No strong feelings in either direction. 4, worse than it is, good. 6, better than it is, worse. 3, and so on and so on, right? But the reason why I explain that is because, you know, a lot of people say that 7 is mediocre for some unbelievably strange reason. I don't get the logic. So I'm just explaining ahead of time, 5 is totally mediocre for me. So with that in mind... I did not enjoy this movie at all. I was sometimes tolerated it, but there was pretty much never a point where I was actively saying, yeah, or that was so good, that scene right there. There was not a single scene like that. Maybe one or two, but the vast majority of the film was pretty much trash. And not funny trash that you can laugh at, or it's not a dumpster like fire. Yeah, prequels pretty
like
much.
The prequels.
Yep.
Okay, continue.
You know, it's just normal trash. It's just boring trash. It is no Arrow Manga Sensei, that's for sure. So with that in mind, I will have to give it 3 out of 10.
Good. I was thinking there you were going to give it a 2, and I was like,
No, two okay. is nearly worthless. One is utterly worthless. As in total, there's no yeah. artistic value to this whatsoever.
Despite what all the, you know, trash we've dropped on this movie, it's still enjoyable. Like I explained, it's a bubblegum film. You can have fun with it. So, given that in mind, I think it's a little better than mediocre for me, personally, just because of the music and, you know, I don't know. I can have fun watching it, so I'm going to give it a 6.
Fair enough. So, splitting it evenly then, 4.5?
That would be, yeah. So, I guess that's fair.
Together then, the Narrative Calculus Podcast. What did I just say?
Rates the greatest show guy 4.5 out of 10.
I'm doing like poses. You can't see me, but I'm doing epic poses.
Nice.
So, what? No after special? No, you know. See you guys next week.
I was gonna do the good morning, good evening, good night thing.
Oh, okay.
But then it's fine. We don't have to do that anymore. We can cut that. Thank you guys so much for listening. As you know, we recently came back from a break. I am thinking this is gonna be our second episode in the break. Yeah. Yeah, so be sure to check out our other Lord of the Rings Finishing the Trilogy video. Not video, podcast. Though we might do that soon. Wink, wink. Thank you guys so much. Be sure to tell your friends about it. We're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, basically anywhere where you listen to your favorite podcasts. Okay, can I start over? I did a bad job. I forgot what I say.
Okay, go ahead.
Thanks so much for listening, guys. Okay, that was bad. Okay, let me just...
Thanks.
Thank you all so much for listening. This is our second episode after our very long hiatus. So thank you for being patient with us, guys. We're going to have a lot more episodes coming up soon. And maybe a couple surprises here and there, a couple guests. Who knows? Could be anything. Be sure to tell your friends about us, about your favorite podcast, the number one podcast in the whole world. Isn't that right, Ty?
I don't really watch our podcast. I cringe whenever I do.
Yeah, so do I. But they don't need to know that. We're on Apple Podcasts, iTunes. Oh, that's the same thing. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, basically anywhere where you listen to your favorite podcast.
What if I listen to podcasts on YouTube?
We'll see. I don't know. Thank you all so much for listening. I'll see you next time. Bye.
Okay, that was exhausting.